I'm going to complete our series that we've been speaking about. The title this morning, if you are a note taker, is The Seed of Prosperity, Part 3. The Seed of Prosperity, Part 3. And I want to continue on today and complete what we've started. God's given me this assignment to speak about the seed of prosperity, and I want to complete it today. And I'm going to repeat a few things that we spoke about the last couple of weeks. And then I just want to give you a brain dump, a look at some things in a different sight of the Scripture. And maybe you've looked at it this way 10 times, but I want to show you some other things that God shared with me in some of these Scriptures about prosperity. And we've said that prosperity from God. Now, this is different. There's a prosperity that the world can give you, and then there's prosperity that God gives you. And the prosperity that God gives you makes you whole in your life. Prosperity that the world gives you sometimes brings you pain and suffering and brings you some things that you don't want. The instant fame, the people that gets the lotteries, and all of a sudden, you know, 3 years later, they're broke, all their family members have been disowned or they're dead. Or I mean, that's, you know, that's the kind of way the devil does things. You know, I got all this money, I won the lotto, and then they live a life that they didn't know how to handle it. If they would have started to learn to tithe, you know, God blesses them with the lotto, oh my God, how much the kingdom would grow, amen. But prosperity God's way, it makes you whole in every area of your life, because see, God wants you to prosper and have great success. That's what the Bible's about. Prosperity goes way beyond the money issue, amen. True prosperity is centered around Jesus. It's that you completely depend upon Him and not your own ability, because He's the one who gave you those abilities in the first place. Amen? Amen? When we use the words success and prosperity, we a lot of times use them interchangeable. They're interchangeable words, success, prosperity. That society limits success, though, to material things, or what Bentley you're driving, or what estate or an address that you live in. And God looks way beyond those type of things. For our prosperity, is your health prospering? Amen. I mean, Steve Wynn's a perfect example of somebody that has probably more money than most people. Amen. And he has his casinos, and he's got some great things, but he doesn't have the sight of in his eyes. He can barely see, and I believe he would pay anything to be able to see and be able to have clarity of sight and mind. Amen. So you can have it all, and in the world's ways, I mean, he drives probably a Porsche or a Bentley and has these nice houses and places all around, but if without Jesus, you're never going to be whole. If you trust Jesus, and you trust in Him, He'll produce unlimited success in your life. Amen? God's will for us is to succeed in every area of our life, in the areas in which you believe His promises. Let me say that again. See, God wants you to succeed in every area of life, but you got to believe His promises. There may be areas in your life that you really got it down pat, and you're prospering in it, but there's areas that you struggle with because you don't believe that God can really do that. Uh-oh. Pastor's up in my stuff this morning. It's all right. See, many Christians don't have a problem believing that Jesus wiped out our sin, that Jesus can still heal, that Jesus is still there to do some stuff for us, that He can take care of our disease. But when it comes to money, we got a problem with God. He can do everything, but He can't financially bless us. So then we get into a mindset of poverty. See, poverty is not a sign of sainthood. Poverty is a curse that Jesus died for. Poverty allows you not to be able to sleep at night. Poverty, a mindset, affects your health, because you're worried about how am I going to make the ends meet. But we have to learn to start trusting God for everything. Oh, Pastor, that's hard. It is. It's a little hard at first. But once you get the mindset wrapped around the things of God, you can do anything. You can do, I think the Bible says, all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens me. Right? This week I want to complete the assignment about the seed of prosperity. And I want you to think about prosperity in this sense, that you got to have a genuine personal intimate relationship with Jesus in order for you to prosper. You got the Holy Spirit, the miracle grow inside of you, and the seed's already been planted, but you got to activate it by knowing Jesus. You got to walk with Jesus. You got to talk with Jesus. You got to spend time with God. There's a lot of types of Christians, but the one that spends time with God is the one that's the most blessed, the one that's prospering, the one that that people are talking about, and the other Christians are talking about, is why has that person got all that? Why? Because they're spending some time with God. They're probably doing something you ain't doing. It probably cost them something. It probably cost them some time that they could have went to the hockey game or the sporting event, but they chose to take that time and spend with Jesus. See, grace-based prosperity is the prosperity or success that we obtain by depending on God's ability, not our own ability. Grace-based prosperity is prosperity or success we obtain by depending on His ability, not my ability. That's why you can walk around with God's unmerited favor. And you know, how you activate it is by faith. You don't get faith because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you have no word coming or speaking no word, you don't have no faith, so you're not going to have any favor. Amen? So we're going to take a look at the Bible in 3 John 1, 2. This is what we've been looking at. 3 John, the first chapter, verse number 2. And we spoke about this the last 2 weeks. It says this: Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in just a couple of ways. Isn't that what it says? That you can prosper in every way except for your finances. You can prosper in every way except for your health. You can prosper in every way except for with your children. All right. So the Bible says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in every way, all things, and that your body may keep well, even as I know that your soul keeps well and prospers. See, prosperity comes in the form of a seed that we need to tend to in order to reap the harvest. Amen? Shout with me this morning, the seed of prosperity lives inside of me. So you got to understand, prosperity or success means that we will prosper in every way of our life, having a successful journey in life. It didn't say we're not going to go through some stuff, but you're going to succeed. You're going to get through them. You're going to push through. Amen? Because of His unmerited love, God wants us to be successful in every area of our life, our spirit, our soul, and our body. God wants you to prosper in your life, your spirit, soul, your body. Successful spirit means you're born again. Right? Amen? Hallelujah. The successful body is one that is healthy. Uh-oh, Pastor. God wants your body healthy. Why? Because when you're doing ministry, you need to be at top of your game. A successful mind is one that is renewed by the Word of God every single day. Every day, I'm renewing my mind. Amen? A successful marriage is one that has peace in it. Uh-oh, Pastor. You ever been in marriage and sometimes it's not peaceful? But a successful marriage has a lot of peace. Amen? I've been. My wife will tell you, we weren't successful in marriage there for a while sometimes. Sometimes we argued and fought, and she knew that was not me. Amen? Because she's not here, so I can say that. Hallelujah. I have 50% of the blame. Amen? Hallelujah. Takes two. But now we've learned that every time there's an issue, we just go to God on it first, because God's going to work it through us, amen, and give us some insight so that, we can have peace. It's nothing like coming home to a house that's full of peace. Oh my God. It's so nice not to have a worry or stress. I mean, there's some things in the world that come up, but I don't stress out about it anymore. I can come home and I know that there's a place where there's some peace. Amen. Now I want to talk a moment about Joseph. We're going to look at Genesis 39, verse 1. And we're going to talk about Joseph, because you got to understand, Joseph ended up being put into slavery. Yet he was a slave God considered him successful. You're going to say, well, that don't make sense. How can he be successful if he's a slave? Because, see, when the Lord is with you, it doesn't matter what position you're in or what the world dictates as a job and what it pays, God will make you successful. It's not about the paycheck or your zip code or the Bentley or the Mercedes or the Kia or the Maxima that you drive, amen? Or if you live in Henderson or North Las Vegas, or if you live in Las Vegas, or you live in Boulder City. It ain't about the location. I want to show you something about Joseph so that you get it this morning, that he was prospering even in his circumstances and situations. I'm prospering even in my circumstances and situations. So we're going to look at what Joseph did, because I think you're going to be enlightened and you're going to see that he already had a seed of prosperity in him. And when the Lord is with you, oh, who could be against you? It doesn't matter. Genesis 39:1 says this, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the chief executioner of the royal guard and the Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. Now, this is not the part I like. Verse 2. But the Lord, so you can cancel everything else out. Because when you put a but there, everything you said before really don't mean squat. So what? He was a slave. So what? He was sold into it. So what? He was bought by the captain of the guard. So what? The guy was an executioner. But. Because when you get God in there, he don't care about all the other things that were before there. He's going to about to change some things in your life. But the Lord was with Joseph. The Holy Spirit is with you. And he, though a slave, was a successful and prosperous man. That's what the Bible said. Although he was a slave, although he was just the janitor in the school. He was successful and a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now let me just stop for a second. Some people might laugh about the maids. They may laugh about the butlers. But they sure are in a house that looked like a palace. Amen. They may only be one of those things, one of those people taking care of the kids, but they sure living in a really nice home that they wouldn't be able to afford. But people laugh, well, you're just one of those babysitter type people. No. God ain't interested in titles. Verse 3, and his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to flourish and succeed in his hands. The world will see that when they place things into your hands, no matter what your position is, it's going to prosper and grow. Everybody is taking a look at what you're doing. No matter what position that you're in, the world is looking at you. And you could have the lowliest job as a slave, but even the master knew. I put it in this Joseph's hands, and I can see that the Lord was with him in everything that he touched, everything he did. Flourished and succeeded in his hands. So Joseph pleased Potiphar and found favor in the sight, and he served him. And his master made him supervisor over his house, and he put all that he had in his charge. He put what? All that he had. All that he said, I'm going to give it all to you. Why? Because I trust you. He's a slave. How much more will God give you? Lord, I just want to be a slave. Yes, master, I'll do whatever you want, but there's an anointing on me. So everybody around me will be blessed. And all of a sudden, they're blessing me with all things. We're talking Potiphar here, man. We're talking Potiphar's house. We're talking bazillionaire. in those days. Put him in charge of it all. I don't know about you, but that's pretty cool. From the time that he made him supervisor in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the Lord's blessing was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. So no longer was just his house blessed, but everything that's connected to his house, the field, the cars, the think about that in the natural. Everybody that's connected to you gets blessed. That's what I'm trying to tell you. The reason why God wants to bless you and have you prosper is not about you, but people are going to be drawn to you so that you can go be a blessing. So you can go pay for 10 kids on a Hades trip and say, I got that one handled. Well, that person, they need rent. No, just give them one of these houses that I have. I don't need it anymore. It just wasn't the house. It was the house and all the field, everything around him. God bless. But he was just a slave. But he was just an ordinary Joe. He was just the person who's the receptionist at the doctor's office, or just the biller, or just a salesperson, or just the person that drives limousines. Come on. He blessed him. I like this even more now. And Potiphar left all that he had in Joseph's charge and paid no attention to anything he had except the food that he ate. I could close right there. Potiphar didn't even worry, pay attention to anything. Because I know this person that serves the Lord and all the blessing that's coming, I ain't messing with him. I bought him as a slave, but man, he running the whole show. I'm still the master in charge, but really the only reason why I have what I have is because of this boy. Even he recognized. The chief executioner, he knew. He didn't have to pay any attention because I got Joseph in charge. I'm not worried about it. Young guy, man, he got it going. He ain't gonna steal from me. He ain't gonna lie. He ain't gonna cheat. This boy's prospering. He's prospering in a place where you shouldn't prosper as a slave. But even in your hellhole that you might be in today, God's still going to allow you to prosper in that. Now, Joseph was an attractive person and fine looking. God never created you to be ugly and junk. God created you perfect in his image, so don't let anybody ever tell you you ain't pretty or you ain't handsome. Because that's what the Bible, you know, the devil tries to use against people. It says Joseph was attractive and a fine-looking person. It says, and then after time, his master's wife cast his eyes upon him. It's saying, well, hey, man, this guy's got this anointing on him. I got to figure out, hey, you know, I got to get some of that. Then after time, the master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, see here. With me in the house, my master has concerns about nothing. Yo, woman, I love you. You're beautiful. I'm going to honor you and all that. But I'm honoring the master. I can't go lie with you. That would wreck my relationship with the master. And that might then stop the prosperity and the flow in my life. And I ain't about to let the flow stop because of yo. He is no greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept anything from me except you, for you are his wife. How then can I do this great evil and sin against God? See, it wasn't against Potiphar. it was against God. He knew that Potiphar is just a person, but I didn't want to mess with God. She spoke to Joseph day after day, but he did not listen to her to lie with her or to do anything with her. It says, and then it happened about the time when Joseph went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the men in the house were indoors, just like the devil. The devil will always try to set you up and try to make something into something that's really not there. Amen. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of the house. When sin comes knocking on your door, just run away from it. Doesn't matter if it has your garment or not attached to it. You might have to run and get away. Not that she was a bad person, but he just knew how it was going to bring down the whole house. He didn't want that prosperity to stop. See, when you become born again, Jesus begins to dwell inside of you. He is not only with us, but he's also in us. People will recognize the presence of God that's inside of you, just like they recognized it in Joseph's life. They knew that, boy, he was a slave, but there's something different. The Lord is upon you. The Lord wants you to prosper. The Lord wants you to have great success. The Lord wants your kids intact. He wants your life intact. He wants your finances intact. He wants your home in order. He wants your business in order. He wants you to grow. He wants you to get God ideas. He wants you to do some stuff that you normally wouldn't do because you need his help to make it happen. It's not about what we have, but who we have inside of us. Not that I have a nice house or a car or all this stuff. It's who I have inside of me that's allowed me to have all this stuff. And God will make you get rid of the stuff just like he kind of did to Job, amen? But do you trust me? I'm just doing some house cleaning for you. You're going to give away that fine china and that china cabinet that you love so much, and you're going to give it away at all. But why? Because I got something better for you. God ain't trying to take something away from you. He's trying to get something better in your hand, but sometimes you got to move the clutter out of the way. And we know the rest of the story about Joseph. You know, he didn't, and then he got put down into the pit again, and all of a sudden, he didn't do anything wrong, but he found himself in a position, but he still what? Trusted God. See, Joseph's relationship with the Lord was evident in his life. He had godly character. He had good godly work ethic. He was diligent. He demonstrated his relationship with God. And Joseph's master trusted him in everything, and that's the reason why the house that he lived in prospered. Shout, the seed of prosperity lives inside of me. So you got to understand, it's obvious that God taught Joseph wrong from right. That's the reason why he didn't go and lay with Potiphar's wife. Even before a law was there, he knew that committing adultery probably wasn't a good thing. See, when you seek the kingdom of God first, we don't have to worry about our food, our clothing, our basic needs, because Jesus said that all things will be added to us. Take a look at Matthew 6:33 real quick. Matthew 6:33. It says, seek the kingdom of God above all else. Don't worry about all the other stuff you got going in your life. Don't worry about the drama. Don't worry about this. Don't worry about that. Don't worry that they just called that your dad, got rushed to the emergency. I don't worry about those things. Now, kids look at me like, well, are you worried about grandpa? I don't worry. Guess what? My God's big. If God calls him home today, he calls him home today. If he doesn't, he gets to stay around. Then we get to spend some more time with grandpa and tell stories on him about all the stuff he did when he was growing up. Amen. So I don't worry about that stuff. Pastor, how can you preach through that? Because I got Jesus in me. I don't worry about the stuff like that. Am I concerned? No, yeah. Why? Because my mindset is in God. Whatever God wants to allow and make happen, I'm all good. He ain't going to go be with the Father. Yeah, he's still got some stuff to get done through this ministry. Amen. I ain't doing it myself. I need the 83-year-old dude to get that stuff done, man. Why? Because he already has the wisdom and knowledge of stuff, so I don't have to blaze any trail. I can just call up daddy and say, hey, you've already been down this road 30 years ago. Help me out. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Not just a couple things. He said, I'll give you everything. All things. He ain't going to leave anything out because he's not the kind of, he's a generous guy. He's going to give you more than you can even handle as far as blood. It means it's going to invade. Get this connection. Genesis 39:1. Joseph, he got the house and the field and everything else got blessed. We'll bring it into Matthew. 20th century. Bring it into today's world. He's going to bless you with everything. When you do things God's way, he's going to give you more than that. He just ain't going to bless your house. But everywhere you're at, you know when you go to that job and it's prospering because you're there? No, and you can say that to your boss. You know, the reason why you're prospering is because I'm here. You know, I just want you to know. You go, well, that's pretty arrogant. No, because I'm bringing Jesus with me. And God's going to fix the stuff that might be broken in your house, in your business. I'm just bringing the seed of the blessing of God into the place. When I go to the mall, I got an anointing. Amen. There's something different about us. My wife and I left. She went to work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. On Sunday, we went to her picnic at the park. It was hot. Sunset Park. The J.C. Penney Park picnic. And the people came in after the shift and said, you know, we're down. You know, our numbers aren't that good today. In the last couple of days, they haven't been good. And I looked at my wife. I said, but Monday's coming. Oh, but Monday's coming. And the anointing of God is in you. It's going to come, right? And you go, oh, Pastor, that you're talking. No. So Monday came, and she go to work on Monday, and they blew away the numbers and caught everything up in one day. Why? Because the overflow had. On Tuesday, it was more than enough. On Wednesday, it was more than enough when she went. They overexceeded the numbers. So the people that, when she left her shift, only had to sell a little bit, but they already topped it. Why? Because when Joseph was in the house, come on now. Put your name in there. When Dale walks in the house, when Marla walks in the house, when I start walking in, things are going to change. The blessing of God is going to come upon that place. And prosperity is going to break loose. And he will give you everything that you need. That's what the Bible says. But you got to seek first the kingdom of God. And above all, everything else will be added on to you. If we focus on Jesus and pursue the kingdom, which is God's peace and righteousness and joy, all things will be added on this. Take a look at Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not the matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's not about what steak dinner I'm going to have, if I'm going to Metro Pizza after here, if I'm going over to, you know, the Rib Shack. No. Not about what I eat. But it's a matter of how I'm living life, of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Many times our priorities are out of order, and we got to begin to seek the things that we need before, you know, we always try to search things like, you know, hey, I need this or I need that, but what we really need to be is seeking God. Do I really need this? Do I really need that? No, you don't. You just need to be seeking God on things. Amen. Grace-based prosperity is all about depending on him and giving the glory and the success to him, not giving it to yourself. It wasn't you that got you where you're at. It's the God that's inside of you that got you where you're at because you were obedient to what he said to go do, and you went and did it. Just like when you mess things up and you go down a path of unforgiveness, or you go and you start robbing banks. That's the devil, amen, that was inside of you, and he gets all the glory for that when you go to prison, amen? But no, but we blame God for that as well. God, he made me do it. You got to depend on God. Your success comes from him. The key to having godly success is having a true, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. It's just hanging with Jesus. It used to be a show, Hanging with Mr. Cooper, you know. Okay, it's saying, but you got to hang with Jesus. I mean, if you haven't dialed into him lately, if you haven't talked to him lately, if you haven't given back to the kingdom of God lately, in your tithes and offerings. That means you're not in communion. You're not in relationship. You're not having that intimate deal with God. But we want all the riches of heaven. We want all the blessings, and we want all the favor, and we want all this stuff. But but it's a one-way street. Well, after about one or two times, I'm going to say, "Hey, enough! This relationship ain't good for me because I'm doing all the giving, but I'm not getting any of the receiving mode." You know what I'm saying? Where I'm receiving everything and I'm giving everything. I mean, however you want to position it, you got to understand something this morning is that it's a two-way street. I give him my time. I give him my talent. I give him my finances to God. And then God gives back to me his time, his talent, his favor, his finances, the ability. And I start to prosper in all these areas. And where I'm lacking, I say, "God, where I'm lacking, I need some more word. Help me out with the word." Because faith comes by hearing the word. And when I get the faith, that favor comes in that area. And all of a sudden, I come over that hurdle and hump. And all of a sudden, I'm prospering in that area of my life as well. And I always have more than enough because then I have to use it so I can bless somebody else so they can say, "Well, where'd you get that from? Well, God just wanted me to bless you." Amen. Vicious circle, but it works pretty good. See, when you behold Jesus and allow him to guide your life, he will lead you to God's best in your life. Shout with me this morning, the seed of prosperity lives inside of me. See, there's a seed of prosperity that's in you. And in order for the seed to grow and be what it's supposed to be, you got to tend to it daily, water it with the word, and speak it into existence. You can't have what you don't speak. I quit speaking about having millions of dollars. I was selling myself way too short. I was thinking billions was enough, but you know what? There's a lot of billionaires. I'm thinking trillionaire because someone's got to pay the national debt off. And it might as well be one person. They just say, "You know, I serve God, and God's bigger than the debt that the whole country has. And he has sent me, his beloved, his other son." Yeah, he got the son, but we're all sons and daughters of Jesus Christ, amen. And whatever Jesus did, even greater things I'll do, the Bible says, and I'll prosper. So I just want you to know that I have to fix the account. Jesus already paid for it all. I'm just taking it a withdrawal from the account, from heaven, with no strings attached. I'll just take care of that whole debt. How much trillion was that you need me to pay for? Come on now. Well, it's the Democrats' fault, it's the Republicans' fault, it's the independents' fault. No, it's everybody's fault. Come on now. Joseph had favor and great success even in the midst of trouble. Let God be your source. The presence of the Lord is in our lives and is there to bring everlasting and great success in your life, but you got to allow him to be accessing you as you access him through the Word of God. Amen? Remember that we become whatever we behold. So if we're beholding finances and money and that's all we're focused on, then they will have a hold on us. But we behold Jesus and do things Jesus' way, then guess what happens? Then we get to be in his image. We're created in his image. We start to act like him, talk like him, and prosper like him. He blesses us to make us a blessing for others. He allows us to have success so that we can influence other people about Jesus. It ain't about you. It ain't about me. It's about me getting Jesus into people's lives. This morning, do what the Heavenly Father does. Say what the Heavenly Father says. And when you do that, you'll prosper in all things of your life. Jesus only did what his Father told him to do. Jesus only acted like his Father would act. So we just take a lesson from the book and do what Jesus did. We're going to prosper like Jesus prospered. Oh, there's 5,000 we got to feed? Hey, can you come over here? Give me some of those. Oh, there's not enough wine for this wedding. Hold on. Let me just take care of that. Oh, we need some more money for the Haiti trip. Oh, I got that. Oh, we don't want to rent the building. We just want to own it. Let me be the person to pay for that whole complex. I don't think you believe that. Do you believe that? Oh, people have been struggling because they just don't have enough money. They put all their money in the rent and they can't afford a new car. We'll just buy them a new house and a new car. It's their problem to have to figure out how to pay insurance and gas, but it's all right. You're supposed to be a need meter. God wants to prosper us in every area of our life. Just not financial. He wants your family intact. He wants your family whole. He wants your body whole. He wants your mind whole. He wants you to be blessed everywhere you go, coming and going. Shout with me this morning. I will seek the kingdom of God. I will speak the word. I will pray in the Holy Spirit. I will activate my prosperity seed. Seed. Take deep root in my soul. Grow me. Expand me. Increase me. Till the world sees it in my life. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm highly favored. I'm prospering. Greater things will be added to me. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Greater things. Remember when you were a kid, found a penny, pick it up, if you can on this floor, and then you have good luck. Remember that? And you take that penny, you know. And then all of a sudden, boy, that penny just turned into a nickel, man. It's amazing how God does things. And all of a sudden, man, and God goes, no, I got another dime for you. And here's another quarter for your time, you know. God wants to prosper you. God wants you to grow. God has greatness in you. God wants you to be the head and not the tail, because the head can talk and tell people about Jesus. You don't have to be the one that talks. You just show them in your actions. Amen. Jesus just didn't say it. He did it. He made you grow. He when you were with him, you had to grow or you had to get out. I mean, I'm thinking about those 12 boys that he picked up, man, and cussing sailors and doctors. And he changed their life for eternity, which allowed us to be changed. And the same DNA that was in Jesus, the same blood that was shed on that cross, resides in us. You're just like your elder brother, and an apple doesn't fall far from the tree who's your father. So if you just do what your father says and act like your father acts and do what the father says to do and obedient, then the blessing and the prosperity and the favor and the success will track you down, just not for this generation, but generations to follow, so that it'll last for eternity. And someone will say, my daddy got it right. My daddy's daddy got it right. And I'm prospering. I'm growing. I got some things going on in my life. I got some tests and struggle, but I got this God on my side. I'm going to overtake it. That curse of poverty was broken over 2,000 years ago. I don't have to walk in lack. He broke the back of lack 2,000 years ago. So I can drive in a Cadillac if I want. Praise God. Why? Because that's the kind of God we serve. You know, he's smiling at you right now saying, if you could just get this and you just add a little bit more water and you already have the Holy Spirit, which is a miracle growing you, and you just get that thing stirred up a little bit in you, if you spend a little of that word and you start speaking that word and you stir it up just a little bit more, then all that prosperity is going to start flowing out of you just like it did Joseph. Amen. And then just not the house would be taken care of, because that's the first thing. He always takes care of the house first. But then everything around the house starts to grow. And then all of a sudden around the neighborhood starts to grow. And all of a sudden the city that you live in starts to grow. And all of a sudden the state that you go. And all of a sudden the whole world becomes to grow. Why? Because you are prospering. Or we can just say, well, you know, I just, you know, I didn't do anything to Potiphar's wife, and I got thrown into this cell down here, and you know, I was only minding my own business, and you know, I You know, I was talking about this coat, and all of a sudden my brother threw me in a ditch, and all of a sudden I know I was sold and at an auction, you know, and I got $3.08 for myself, but now I'm in the penthouse. See, they didn't know how he was going to get to the house. Sometimes you're going through some stuff, but you haven't seen clearly how God's going to get you where you're going. Amen. Come on now. I had to get rid of one house and rent for 2 years for God to put me in the house I'm in today. Well, I had to wait 2 years. I didn't like renting. I didn't like that. I didn't like it. I wanted to own. I've always owned my whole life. But God had to orchestrate some stuff and get some financial things in arrangement so that somebody else would fix the house that I'm in. So all I got to do is move in and I get new neighbors. Why? So I get new neighbors so I can tell them about Jesus. Why are you so blessed? Well, let me tell you. Not because I'm a pastor. It's because I just follow the word of God. And what he does for me, he'll do for you. Why? Because God wasn't interested in the title of pastor, just like he wasn't interested in the name slave. Right. Come on. That's right. When I graduated high school, they told me all it amount to is a janitor. They're absolutely right. I'm just taking out the trash. I'm just cleaning up what the devil tried to leave behind. I'm just sweeping up the mess of people's life so that they can get the word. I'm just a janitor. Just clean up. Oh, let me tell you about Jesus. So I'm just to sweep out that sin and that sickness and your disease. I'm just trying to build your faith a little bit more. I'm just that janitor. I'm just digging that hole for you. Just getting that. Yeah, just filling that little mess that you had there. Why? Because that's all I am. As you call me a slave or whatever you want to call it. I'm a friend of God. I'm a friend of God. I'm a child of the Most High. I'm blessed coming in. I'm even more blessed going out. When I'm in the house, the anointing shows up. I can't. It just chases me down. I'm sorry that the business is prospering. You want me to have God just slow it down just a notch? Maybe you just don't want to make 110% this year. You only want to make, you know, about 3%. Come on now. And people say, well, that's crazy. My boss is trying to figure out how come I had the best month of May ever on record. And, you know, how did you put all this money? How did you make 16% on your money this month? I don't know. And it was just this Jesus guy showed up. It's hard work. Just like Joseph wasn't lazy, just sitting around saying, well, I'm blessed of the Lord. I'm blessed of the Lord. I'm blessed of the Lord. It's all going to come to me. No, he was, work ethic was good. He was out doing it. And the Lord was upon him, and he did it with character, and he did it with morals, and he did it with ethics. And guess what happened? He was blessed. And Potiphar said, wait, whoa, man, the house is blessed. And I said, well, I'm just going to turn it all over to him. I don't have to worry about nothing. Because that's what God wants to do for you. He wants to turn it all over to you, because the Father can then rest on you that you already can take care of it. So then he can give it all to you so that you can be a blessing to other people that are around you. God wants to say, just like Potiphar said, is like, hey, man, I ain't got no worry about it. I got Joseph in charge. Hey, I got Pastor Jeff in charge. Hey, I got Dell in charge. Hey, I got Matthew involved. I'm good. I got David. I gave it to him. I'm good. I don't have to do anything. Everything's prospering. Everything's growing. Man, my God, the place is blowing up. Hey, I gave it to Ron. Ron's got it under control. I don't have to worry about it. He's touching people's lives. Look at that. Everything around me is prospering and growing. It's just not his house, but everything around him is growing. The fields are growing. It's prospering. I could just get one. Because when you're in the Father's hands and he trusts you, you know how much blessings he's going to pour? He gave it all to you. Did he say, I gave it all to you, but nothing? He didn't have to worry about all he had to worry about is what he was going to eat. God, if we could just get that. God is the God of the yesterday, today, and forever. He's not changing. What's changing is us. The word gets in us, and the seed begins to grow, and the miracle grow of the Holy Spirit puts us into a whole nother level. This looks familiar, but I'm at a different vantage point right now. Just trying to help you. See, when the devil tries to put some stuff up on me before service, he ought to know better not to mess with me. Come on. Old playbook. Read it. Already know the game. Already know your moves. Checkmate. Why? I'm with the Father, man. What are you messing with me? God's kid? I don't need to even bring Jesus involved. He may have already destroyed you. I'm prospering. I'm growing. I got health. Got lungs to breathe and eyes to see and ears to hear and hands to go get it done for Jesus. And feet to go step on the devil just a little bit more. Why? Because it's not about my house. I'm going to saturate the whole area with Jesus. Not by what I'm saying, by just how I'm acting. I'm just going to do it God's way. With some integrity. I'm going to do it with some moral ethics. That's all Joseph did. It's not about the title you have vice president or if it says janitor. He had slave. And Potiphar said, hey, he's in charge of everything. I don't have to worry about nothing. And God just wants me to tell you, he wants you to make sure you don't worry about nothing. Trust him. Be Christ-centered in the grace of God and the prosperity and the success and the increase will all come upon you. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you in advance, Lord, that we can put all our trust in you. Lord God, we rely on your abilities, not our own. Thank you, Lord God, for healing. Thank you, Lord God, for prospering us. Thank you, Lord God, for wholeness. Thank you, Lord God, for blessing our families, our children, our loved ones, our uncles, our aunts, our brothers and sisters, our co-workers, our businesses that employ us. For new employers that may come our way, Lord, that we're going to step into, Lord, that's going to, Lord God, we're going to explode their business because we're stepping outside because we're people of integrity with hard work ethic. And that, Lord God, we're bringing the anointing of God into the house of that business. I ask you, Lord God, to bless us and grow us and increase us. Increase our capacity to understand you and your word. And allow that faith to arise in us so that we can accomplish and complete things that the world would be astounded by. By just little old me, Lord, I did it with you. You were the centerpiece. You were the one that got it done through me. I'm just a vessel that you pour through. Lord, bless your people in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. And amen.